I being the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. As I stand before you this morning, this afternoon, I pray that the Father of glory grant us the spirit of wisdom, that our eyes of understanding be illuminated or brightened to see what God has in store for us in these days or conference. Having sat under the sound of God's precious word, as we leave, may we say together, from this day the Lord hath blessed us. Reference to tabernacle, reference to the house of God, reference to the contribution for the house of God, and the affection of the house of God is drawn before us. In continuation, may we turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 8. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 7. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 7, and verse number 47. But Solomon built him a house. And then turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew. Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 12. And verse number 3 and verse number 4, the beginning part of each verse. Verse number 3, but he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was a hunger, and they that were with him? Verse number 4, how he entered into the house of God. And the final reading, turn with me to the book of Genesis, please. Book of Genesis, chapter number 28. The book of Genesis, chapter number 28, verse number 16 and 17, please. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious and holy word. The one who dwelt between cherubim in glory, the one who dwelt in co-equal eternal existence with the Father, the one who walked upon the sapphire stone of the sanctuary, is delighted to dwell in our midst. And the one whom we see as the sun over his house, in the epistle Hebrews chapter number 3 verse number 6, and we see him as the priest, epistle Hebrews chapter number 10 verse number 21, and we see him as the judge, and the epistle 1 Peter chapter number 4 verse number 17. And we see John could view him in the book of Revelation chapter number 1 verse number 13 to 16 as the priest and the judge in the midst of the seven golden lampstands is the one in the whose presence we the believers who are favored, in the right rendering, highly favored in the beloved. And having been accepted with boldness and in confidence of highly privileged to enter into His presence divine, the very place where we are is not an ordinary place, but it is the dwelling place of God. A place where heaven is open and the angels are descending and ascending, taking notice of. And we read in the epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, chapter number 11, verse number 10, angels looked upon. It's not an ordinary place. And Jacob could acknowledge, and Jacob could identify, surely the Lord is in this very place. How dreadful, Newbery put it like this, how fearful, how solemn is this place. This is none other but the house of God. The house of God. I see in this assembly a generation is coming up. I seen them right from their birth, and I praise God for their parents, and with the divine wisdom they could bring them up along with them in the assembly fellowship. The greatest joy parents ever can have on this earth, to have their children on their side, sitting along with them, and they continue in the assembly fellowship. And I want to encourage this generation to keep going on in testimony, like unto Levites of old, carrying the staves of the ark upon your shoulders. The testimony to the person of Christ. The epistle Titus and the epistle 1 Timothy, the epistle 2 Timothy are known as the pastoral epistle, written to the individual, yet we can have those letters and see its instruction for our daily living. And the subject of the epistle in Titus is the grace of God. The subject of the epistle of 1 Timothy is the house of God. The subject of the epistle 2 Timothy is the man of God. And the house of God is what produces the man of God. And this is the very place. Parents of Samuel brought him into the presence of the Lord, where we have him day and night. And that place is what made him. What we read in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 9, verse number 6. an honorable man, and a man of God. An honorable man and a man of God. That's all we want to see. In our assembly fellowship, children who are born, brought up in the ways of God, and then we have them as young people, praise God, not have gone astray, but we have them in the assembly fellowship. How come Jacob could identify this place? When we look at this subject, we find in the book of Genesis, chapter number 28, in relation to Jacob, we have number one, the conviction about this place, the conviction of the house of God. And then we find in the book of First Chronicles, what our brother brought before us, looking at chapter number 28 and 29, there we have the contribution for the house of God. And then when we look at the epistle, 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3, the construction of the house of God. And what we read from the epistle, 1 Timothy, chapter number 3, verse number 15 and 16, bring to us the conduct in the house of God. And then we see in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 93, where we have the character of the house of God. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. So as we progress in our conference, we will gather from Scripture all about the dwelling place of God. The place, the person, the pattern, the provision, the prospect, and so on, as time permits. There is no subject like the house of God. In the scripture, it is mentioned frequently right from the book of Genesis. And let me outline for you. We find in the book of Genesis, chapter number 28, Jacob identified. David desired for the house of God. Solomon built and dedicated the house of God. Abijah kept the charge of the Lord. Asa renewed the altar of the Lord. Jehoshaphat protected the house of the Lord. Joash and Jehoiada reinforced the house of the Lord. Jotham developed the house of God. Hezekiah restored the house of the Lord. Josiah revived the house of the Lord. Zerubbabel and Joshua built the altar and laid the foundation of the house of the Lord. Haggai and Zechariah resume the work of the house of God. In fact, the subject of Haggai is the house of God. The subject of the book of Zechariah is the God of the house, right? And as we progress, we find Ezra established the principle of the house of God. And Nehemiah consecrated for the service of the house of God, and we have them together unanimously saying in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 10, verse number 39, we will not forsake the house of God. Let us come to the New Testament. We find Paul and Barnabas, like unto Jars and Jehoiada, reinforced the house of the Lord. And Paul defined the house of the Lord. Take Timothy, he preserved the house of God. Titus cared for the house of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25. Our blessed Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. What about our contribution? In contrast of the positive aspect, we see the negative aspect. Ahaz shut the door of the house of the Lord. And so we see in the New Testament, the shut door in the Odyssey, the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. And the Lord is outside. The reference is made to the lampstand, and the very thought is that it is the light bearer amidst of darkness and evil. We find in chapter number 1 of Revelation, verse number 12, the Lord is in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And we see him in chapter 2, verse number 1. He is walking in the midst of seven golden lampstands. But when we come to the last stage, in the light of Laodicea, chapter number 3, verse number 20, he is outside. He is outside. Uzziah crossed the boundary and captured the priestly ministry. The last king, Zedekiah, polluted the house of the Lord. We see in chapter 2 of John Gospel, verse number 16. The Father's house became the house of merchandise. We have in the epistle 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, Demas has forsaken me and loved the present world, so is some individual, forsaking the assembling of themselves and the manner of some is. Epistle Hebrew chapter 10, verse number 25. Look at the condition today. When we read the book of Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, we are given a twofold condition of the place, condition of the people, the place Jerusalem, and the people, Jew. Look at today. And the Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verse number 13, you made it. We are responsible. You made it. And so we see this subject right from the book of Genesis. It is originated in the very heart of God. The very first mention of it is what I read in the book of Genesis, chapter number 28, verse number 16 and 17. And the very thought is what the Lord thought all about at the beginning is what is given in all its beauty and perfection, and nothing to add, let any generation come. And the very last mention of which what our brother read from the epistle 1 Timothy, chapter number 3, verse number 15, the final revelation all about the dwelling place of God is what is given. Nothing more to reveal or nothing more to add. Let the world change, let any new generation come, let it be any country. The pattern, what is given, the very blueprint, remains and will never change. And we, the responsible parents, we, the responsible shepherd, are responsible to take that very blueprint, that very pattern from Scripture. Just stop here and come with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 28, verse number 11, where we have a father and son, and we see David handing over the pattern to his son Solomon. Drop your eye down and we see from where David received. We have verse number 18 and 19, the same chapter. David received in writing from God. He did not add, neither remove. What did the son do? Did he add? No. Did he remove? No. And so we see him in 2 Chronicles chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Solomon began to build the house of God. And we come to chapter 5 of 2 Chronicles verse 1. Solomon finished the work of the house of God. And the Lord honored both father and the son. How do we know? 2 Chronicles chapter number 5, verse number 14. The glory fell in the house of the Lord. Not only that, we read in chapter number 7 of 2 Chronicles, verse number 12. When the house was completed, the Lord responded to the prayer of Solomon and said, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. You see? Because it was according to the pattern. And that is what we read of the tabernacle. We find after redemption in chapter number 12 of Exodus, then we hear them singing that glorious song of redemption in the book of Exodus, chapter number 15. And we have them making mention of the habitation of the Lord. Verse number 2. We will make the habitation, the dwelling place for God. But they forgot all about. And then again, the initiative comes from the heart of God. And so we read in the book of Exodus, chapter number 25, verse number 8 and 9. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Them. Who are they? Those whom he redeemed from the land of Egypt. They are his by the redemptorial right. The Lord did not dwell in the garden of Eden. We have him visiting. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. And now the redemption is accomplished. There is a people who belongeth unto him, and is delighted to dwell among them. Verse number 9, so he gave the pattern to Moses. And the last verse in that chapter, the book of Exodus, chapter 25, and verse number 40. Look, the pattern I have showed thee upon the mount. The Lord is trusting the pattern. So shall ye make it. And we read, not less than 10 times in the book of Exodus, chapter number 39, Moses did as the Lord God commanded. So did he. And in chapter 40, the work of the tabernacle is done. And the glory is filled in the tabernacle. The Lord honored Moses. So the pattern. So dear child of God, the new generation, darling children, remember. The pattern of the house of God. You see, when we think of Genesis, chapter number 2, when sin entered, what happened? The rule of God, the commandment of God is what is violated. As a result, we find in chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they were hiding from the presence of the Lord. The relationship with God is soiled. And when you read chapter 3 of Genesis and verse number 24, the access is shut. No more entrance into the garden. So by one man, all these happen. The first man from the earth, earthly, the second man is the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 47. Some of the modern translation omit the divine title, the Lord. Be careful what version of the Bible you hold. and by whom we find the access is regained. The door was shut, the gate was shut, and the cherubim were placed with a flaming sword that one should not gain the access. Until we find the uplifted sword against the shepherd upon Calvary's mercy seat, whereby we are given this glorious nearness into the presence of the Lord. And we who are accepted in the Beloved, highly favored in the Beloved, in confidence, with boldness, we can enter. How privileged we are. How do we value this place? Is this very place on the top of our heart? Are we longing to come? Look at the young man Joshua in the book of Tabernacle, in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 33 and verse number 11. The young man Joshua did not depart from Tabernacle. How come? His master Moses already left. Not because of musical instrument, not because of the new age pattern. He valued that place. He knew this is the place where God communicated with his master Moses. He knew this is the place where was the presence of the Lord. He valued that place because he knew this is the place where the glory of the Lord filled. And he had affection. His affection was the dwelling place of God. A thought comes to me from the book of Psalm number 84, verse number 1 and 2. How amiable, that word amiable, dearly beloved, beautiful, is the tabernacle of the Lord of hosts. With exclamation. How dearly beloved. How amiable, how beautiful is the dwelling place of God. What is the safest place on this earth? Dear child of God, there is only one safe place, and that place is where you are today. Why? The Lord is here. World outside is in danger. And when you get out, be careful. Keep a strict eye on yourselves. Take heed unto yourselves. The adversary, the devil, day and night, walking about, he is there. Yet we have the presence of the Lord. And so Psalmist says, Psalm number 84, verse number 1 and 2, my heart, my soul, my flesh, crying out for the courts of the living God. My heart affectionately. That is what we read from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 29, verse number 3. David says, I have set my affection to the house of my God. So my heart affectionately, my soul spiritually, my flesh physically, longing, crying out for the courts of the living God. Underline living God. That takes me to what our brother read from the epistle 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. O Timothy, thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of the Lord, which is the church of the living God. Living God. In contrast of the God of Diana, the temple of Diana at Ephesus, here it is, the dwelling place of the living God. A house is a place where a person lives. The living God. And so, beloved, do we have such affection? Do we have such a longing? Are we longing to come and gather together? The book of Psalm 50, verse number 5, gather unto me my saints. The Lord is delighted to have us together unto him. Gathering together unto him, to a person. We will see that later. Are we longing? How many of us pray throughout the week? Oh Lord, give us wonderful Lord's Day. Longing, waiting to come into the house of God. The house that belongeth unto him. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Like unto Macedonian believers, let us give ourselves unto him. May the Lord bless this verse to your heart.